Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Muhammad. Dr. Ava is a gifted attorney, researcher, lecturer, and author of 5 books. She received her Juris Doctorate from Georgetown University and is a member of the New York Bar Association. Dr. Ava has been featured in Essence magazine many times and was named by Essence as being one of America's most powerful black women. Dr. Ava is also a student national spokesperson for the Nation of Islam and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Although I was not invited, I must say that I am happy to see that so many convened to listen to the various speakers, especially the words of the President of the United States of America. This, however, demonstrates a condition that needs to be rectified. When someone else has to finance our ideas of paying tribute to Dr. King and the great civil rights movement, or marches for whatever purpose we wish to march, those who finance us feel they have the right to tell us who is permitted to speak and who is not. This again shows the pitiful condition that we are in as a people when we as organizations and leaders cannot finance our own gatherings and marches so that somebody else can tell us who we can have and who we can't, when our condition is such that we need all hands on deck to solve the critical problems that we as a people face. So my appeal to my brothers, Reverend Sharpton of the National Action Network, to Martin Luther King III, to Brother Mark Morial of the Urban League, to Brother Julian Bond, to Brother Ben Jealous of the NAACP, to the Reverend Charles Steele of SCLC, the Congressional Black Caucus, and all the leaders and organizations that are represented there today and are represented in Washington. My appeal to you today is for a united front for all our leaders and organizations to meet, to plan. So, can we meet after such demonstration at a place that does not necessarily have to be mentioned or known? Will you accept an invitation from Brother Farrakhan to meet so that we can sit and strategize as a people who love our people and want to see us in a better state than we are presently in? Would you meet with me so that we together might plan a better way forward rather than asking the government that cannot properly respond to our needs?
The Elevated Places call-in number is 347-324-5091, or visit us on our radio show page at blogtalkradio.com/elevated places. And now, here is your host, Dr. Ava Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. Welcome once again to Elevated Places. I am your host, Ava Muhammad. Today is August the 29th, 2013. It is 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, and we are live on blogtalkradio.com/elevated places. Now, beloved, trust and believe. You will absolutely want to get into tonight's discussion. So get your place right now by calling 347-324-5091 and press the number 1 to talk to the host. We are going to be joined later this evening by an exciting, brilliant brother, our Mississippi native, gifted rapper, activist, and actor, who plays a role in the number 1 movie in America, The Butler. We're going to talk with David Banner tonight, and trust me, you're going to love him. If you have not seen this film, you will go after tonight. I have seen it twice, and I plan to go again. We are also streaming live on WKBOL 100.1 FM in Waterloo, Iowa. Thanks to our dear brother out there making it happen, Brother Michael Muhammad. And I am pleased to announce that I now host a one-hour broadcast version of Elevated Places every Sunday at 4 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Talk of the Town, WVON Chicago, 1690 AM. This legendary station is one of the most powerful outlets in the country for black people and for the interests of the black community. It is the place where you have heard the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan on the Cliff Kelly Show. So I could not be more honored to be on WVON. Now, the show does stream live on WVON.com, so you don't have to be in Chicago to hear it. And you can download the iHeart app on your smartphone or your tablet. You can listen anytime, any place to WVON. Remember to follow me on Twitter at Dr. Ava Muhammad and also on Facebook at Dr. Ava Muhammad. I will be delivering the lecture this Sunday from Mosque Mariam via national webcast. So come out to your mosque wherever you are and bring a guest. Now, you just heard an excerpt from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's lecture series, The Time and What Must Be Done. It can't get any more clear than the statement we just lifted. We, beloved, can't even finance our own gatherings 50 years after the March on Washington. And so, of course, those who do finance these gatherings and make them available to the public are also dictating who the speakers are. And they can say to the organizers, you can't invite Cornel West. So don't even fantasize about having Farrakhan at this event. Well, I'm so happy that my co-host, the inimitable Brother Terrence Muhammad, was right there at the 50th year commemoration of the 1963 March on Washington, which, by the way, its full title was March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Terrence. It is so good to have you here. Really blessed that you were there really during most of the week for the anniversary, and so that you can share with us your experiences. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. This is going to be a great, great show tonight, and I definitely tell people you need to tweet about it, Facebook it, Instagram it. However you want to do, put your picture in the Instagram and say, tune into Blog Talk Radio with at Elevated Places. You do not want to, look, you know, all the shows are good, but you do not want to miss tonight. We're going in tonight. You know, we're getting, as the young people say, we're going to turn up tonight. We're getting ready to turn up.
That's right.
Elevated Places.
Yes, sir, absolutely. So this was the 50th year since Martin Luther King Jr. delivered the legendary message at the gathering of hundreds of thousands at the mall for the March on Washington. At that time, it had been 100 years since the signing of the Emancipation proclamation. And Dr. King was the point man for the civil rights struggle that was taking place in the United States. And so you were there this year, 50 years later. Talk to us about who was there, what your impressions were.
You know, one of the things I think I want to start, Dr. Ava, there's a couple of things I want to put in a backdrop, as we always do current events before I go into the march in Washington, because I think there's a lot of things that are going on across the nation that we need to be aware of that causes, well, as we look at history, the initial march to start was, you know, was still about jobs and justice. And if you're looking in the news and watching the news today, in a lot of the states, and it's a whole lot of commemorative things going on today that I want to start with. And one is the fast food workers' strike that are going on in multiple cities across the nation. Yeah. I know one of my organizations are fighting with the Hip Hop Caucus down in Memphis. I know we have some protests in my city of Greensboro, North Carolina. And it's interesting that someone said fast food workers should not make $15 an hour, but I don't think most people have calculated what is a living wage. So when you talk about minimum wage is not a living wage. So we want everyone to have the decency to make a living wage to sustain themselves and their families. So when we talk about jobs and justice on the march in Washington, we got to look at what's going on right now, as well as looking at, and don't forget, I really don't want people to forget how our government, as we're petitioning the government, as we're petitioning our nation, how our government and Kanye West said it best, and Michael Jackson said it best, they don't care about us. Kanye West said they don't care about black people, because today we commemorate 8 years on the anniversary of Katrina, Hurricane Katrina, and we got to be very clear when we tell the history. It was not just because of Hurricane Katrina. It was because the levees that broke that was not kept up in the parts of our neighborhoods. And it was the killings or the persecution of the police in that dome that, you know, that then allowed them to cross that bridge. When we look about what happened in Selma, it was almost feeling like Selma when it was down during Hurricane Katrina. Don't come across this bridge. So I'm saying these are different backdrops as we look at Moral Monday in North Carolina, the laughing stock of the United States because of its legislature. Yesterday there was 13 rallies across the state as they fought against a legislator that is the backdrop of trying to destroy all of the things that people fought for in this issue of Moral Monday. So that brings me to the events during the March in Washington that are very significant and is very, very key. And be very clear, when you talk about the March in Washington, Dr. Ava, you know, the question had to be asked, which one? My brother, Jasiri Yetz, who was at some of the events, he has a song out called Real Gangster. And no disrespect to Al Sharpton and Martin Luther King III, but President Obama did a gangster move. He said, y'all can have y'all little march on Saturday while y'all have play, but I'm going to have my march on a Wednesday, the actual day of the March on Washington.
Right.
And just like Minister Farrakhan said, I'm not going to have my march on a weekend where it's frolic and fun and playtime.
Yes.
I'm going to have it on a Monday, a work day, that you're going to come and take the seriousness. So I don't know, but I do know that President Obama was at the Million Man March, and maybe he was gangster enough to say, I'm going to be like Farrakhan and not have it on a weekend, but have it on a Wednesday. I don't know.
But, cut that out.
I'm just saying. But it's very interesting also, Dr. Eva, it's also very interesting that we forget about, as Minister Farrakhan, and which you have to, if you didn't catch last week, the time of what must be done, go to YouTube, go to NOI.org/the time. Please look at this lecture. All of them are good. Look at this one, because when we look at Martin Luther King, he talked about his dream, but then he said his dream may be a nightmare later on in his lifetime. He talked about this integration, integrating to a burning house. So I say all these things because Martin Luther King was murdered, not killed. He was murdered because it was a plot to kill him when he spoke out against the Vietnam War. So it's interesting how our president, President Obama, is speaking about commemorating the March on Washington, but is getting ready to bomb Syria and go to war with Syria. It's some interesting dynamics, and I think we can get later into more of the details and events that went on. There was a large component of the young people being involved. A lot of young people were not represented Saturday, but they were given an opportunity. But there was a young people march, young people from Black Youth Vote, some brothers from Ohio, some young people from Dream Defenders, along with the Hip Hop Caucus, organized a march against ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council that are behind the Stand Your Ground laws and behind the voter ID. Some young people marched on ALEC. They took over. We took over the streets in this 10-block walk to ALEC. But that didn't really get a lot of coverage. And there's some controversy going on now about a lot of people getting cut off and their speeches being cut during the first march on Saturday. So there's a lot of things that's going on. And I think the one funny thing, well, not funny thing, but one of the things that was interesting is Michael Eric Dyson making Al Sharpton, almost giving a blessing of Al Sharpton being the preeminent leader of Black people. And as you said, Dr. Ava, and the minister said, it's a shame. If he is the preeminent and primary leader of Black people now, then our primary Black leader is backed by the same people that are oppressing our people.
Exactly.
And that's very scary, because he cannot save our people if he is funded by the oppressors of our people. So there is one leader that was not appointed but anointed for this time, and that is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, because he's backed by God and the people that he served. So I want to take a break, and we can come back, because there's a lot more that I want to share.
Yeah, we're going to keep talking about these profound events throughout the program, and when Brother David Banner, Allah willing, joins us later, those who have seen the Butler recognize its relevance to what we're talking about and its power in a culture-dominated society to help the blind see. You know, as the minister has pointed out, we're really an illiterate nation. Not just Black people, but America as a nation has suffered a steep decline in its intellectual capacity. And so now the people don't read, and now, as the minister says, they don't hear. And so what's left is the visual. And if we are going to capture the mind, whatever little pin of light may be left in the masses of our people, it's important that we are aided, even though the makers may have not intended it. But this film actually aids us in conveying the truth in this hour. I don't want to go any further without welcoming a person who helped make the program what it is. And that person is Dr. Richley.
Dr. Richley, did you hear that?
No, I didn't. She was breaking up real bad.
Well, she didn't want to go any further, and I think I'm clear that she didn't want to go any further without recognizing our Elevated Places contributor, and she was giving a greeting to you.
Oh.
As-salamu alaykum to Dr. Richard.
Okay, well, alaykum salam, but no, I couldn't hear her. She was breaking up real bad. I hear you very well, though.
Okay.
Still breaking up.
Yeah, you're still breaking up, Dr. Ava. So, Dr. Ava, what we want to do... Yeah, Dr. Ava, while you get that situated, I want to go ahead and ask Dr. Ridgely, and I can give more of what I saw. But Dr. Ridgely, did you see any of the march on this past Wednesday or this past Saturday, or hear any commentary that you wanted to elaborate on?
Nope.
Well, let me ask this question. How do you feel about us commemorating 50 years of the March on Washington?
Well, I think that the portion of the time of what must be done that we played at the beginning of the program was I'm just proud to be a follower of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I'm just proud to have enough sense to know what time it is and what must be done and who to follow and who to listen to. I mean, it was just he broke it down very beautifully, and he gave them a way out. You know, look, let's talk. You know, let's sit down and talk if you really want to help our people. You know, so I'm waiting on that talk. I'm waiting on that call, and those brothers and sisters who claim to be leaders will come together with the minister. That was done, as was done, you remember, he did this with the leadership summit before the Million Man March when Dr. Ben Chambers was head of the NAACP. So something
right.
like that needs to be reconvened so we can come out with a serious strategy to deal with our future, because if America has no future economically and socially and morally, then we can't be looking to fix America or to fit into America. We must be looking to fix ourselves and set something up as a maybe even as a beacon for America. So we have to think in terms of leadership and developing a vision for our future, for our children, and us going in a corner and just get some work done and all this blabbity blabbity, you know, blabbity blabbity, all this talk. We got to get some real work done.
And, you know, and I agree with you, and I don't want us to forget that October the 20th, there's going to be a powerful
right.
message delivered by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan at
That's
Tuskegee
right.
University. And, you know, we understand that the person that was responsible for that school and the work that he did, and we want to encourage everybody. It's a free, and the F-R-E-E, free event in Tuskegee. October the 20th, and you do not want to miss hearing the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, 18th anniversary of the Million Man March, which I have to say is the largest march in the history of the United States, and some will even argue the world, where black men came in unity and organized, and some people will, what came out of the Million Man March? What was the agenda? Well, we do know that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, from his speech, asked people to join organizations, not the nation, but other organizations and churches filled up, or black organizations filled up, and the adoption rate went up for black children and children in general by black males. And also we know the reports from national offices and police and local police that crime went down afterwards and on that day, and that place was left very clean. So it's something that people want to hear, and I, as you said, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is calling all of the black leaders, and I hope those that was at the march will respond, and those that were not at the march, because later that day at Bus Boys and Poets in D.C., I did hear from our brother Cornell West that said some interesting words about the leadership, as he said they didn't talk about Wall Street. They didn't talk enough about mass incarceration at the march on August 24th. And I think he was going to comment.
May I interrupt and ask?
Yes, ma'am, you're back.
Am I back?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, the that's good. The bad side is I called this number. I called the Blog Talk call-in, and it is a recording is coming on that the number is not available. So I'm just hoping it is not blocking calls. We do have a number of people on the line, but our guest was asked to call in at the bottom of the hour, and I'm just hoping he's not blocked, because it would not take a call from me. But we'll just keep moving forward. But you know, as the discussions grow in intensity, we're going to start experiencing some things. And I wanted to add to this discussion that there is an excellent article in the Final Call newspaper. Brother Richard Muhammad interviews Dr. Boyce Watkins
right.
with regard to the 2013 march. And Dr. Watkins, who many of you know as a writer and organizer and academic, has said that he felt the failure to or refusal to have Minister Farrakhan there was actually honest on the part of the organizers due to the fact that the minister's message is on the complete other end of the spectrum. The minister in the Nation of Islam bring a message of independence and strength, and our message does not connect with this effort to be validated and get love and support from white people as the central theme in our lives. And so he said it was really somewhat honest. And in his words, he said, Minister Farrakhan is probably one of the most liberated black men in America and the freest black man in America. He is so free, he is able to spend less time talking about what whites or others are doing because they don't determine what he does.
That's right.
He went on to say that under President Obama, we've been crippled, that we are in one of the darkest eras of black history because of the fact that we don't have a clear enemy. He said we may have made more progress under a Republican president instead of dealing with an enemy disguised as a friend. Quote, when you have an outright enemy, you are ready to fight, but with a friend, your defenses are down and you are more vulnerable to attack. He is, of course, a Syracuse University professor, and he went on to say that it is incredible that black people have invested so much in a president whose leadership shows that black interests are not high on his agenda or important. And he said that just speaking in an affirmative about independent black economics is seen as militancy. It is seen as an attack on white interest. And that, of course, is why I am strongly suggesting that people go and see the butler, because as I indicated, in this culture, which now is dominated by visual and sound effects, we need something that's going to shake us and perhaps shock us out of our complacency and out of our disconnect with reality, which we are really suffering from right now. And frankly, the excerpts that I heard, because I was in St. Louis at a conference over the weekend, and normally I would have been watching an event like this because I need to know what's being said for my position. But the little bit that I heard, I found it very distressing, frankly, because I can't wrap my mind around how it is that we return to a place where we were 50 years ago, and we are struggling with the same agenda item. When Dr. King came, number one, he didn't come on behalf of every group in society. He came on behalf of the former slaves. That's number one. But secondly, as I indicated, the title of the march was Jobs and Freedom. And he addressed himself to poverty. He addressed himself to the condition of our people at that time, which was deplorable, and he was very clear about that. The unemployment rate in 1963 was actually slightly lower than it is in 2013. Now, when you add to that fact, in addition to no improvement on that front, the moral decline of the black community, the disintegration of the family in the black community, the engagement in what Dr. King called derivative crimes. Because in the wake of the lynching murder of Trayvon Martin, we've had to be assaulted with attacks by the so-called right-wing media accusing us of black-on-black violence, which is a fact. However, Dr. King himself said that criminal behavior and violence in the black community was derivative.
That's right.
It came from white society. You know, and so to me, one of the things we want to talk about tonight is, you know, as the minister raised this question, where do we go from here? Because the man that said, I don't know who the origin of the statement was, but we're all familiar with the statement that doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results is insanity. And so we're back at the same spot with a greater problem than we had, even though we have a black man in the White House, and yet no change in the approach or strategy is being put forth.
Well, can I say something?
Yeah, I want to come back.
Okay. Brother Terrence quoted Kanye West and said that, you know, they don't care about black people. Well, you know, see, that's not quite true. They do care very much about black people. That's why we are in our condition. And they spend a lot of money and time and propaganda and spies and murders and all this to keep us in our place. Because keeping us in our place is their whole purpose for living. Without us, they have no reason for being. Without us being beneath them, and this goes all the way back to the teachings of Elijah Muhammad and why they were made and why Yaqub brought them forward. And their whole purpose is to dominate the indigenous people of the planet. So they care about us, but what we don't understand is how much they care about us, because we just think that it's with a few, you know, few crackers here, a few crackers there. No, these people, they're innately in their DNA, are always on guard to keep us in our place. Now, I'm out here at the farm, and I can tell you a whole bunch of stories about how white folks always trying to keep us in our place, want to know what we're doing with all this land out here, want to know what we growing, where we selling at, and these are just truckers who don't be moving stuff. What you care? But no, everybody has the right as a white person to inspect whatever black people are doing. So they care
That's
about
exactly
us
right.
very
yes,
much.
Sir. Yeah, they care in a negative sense.
That's right.
I agree with you that I think he might mean they don't care from the perspective of lacking empathy and sympathy. And I'll be honest, one word, one of my pet peeves is this word sensitivity. When we talk about, for example, police brutality and some of these self-styled leaders talk about the police need sensitivity training. You know, I am not a dolphin. I am not a dog or a parrot. See, that's the type of language you use when you're talking about a lesser being. But we are so blessed to have joining us on the line this evening David Banner. And as I bring him onto the line, let me say first of all that the number one film in America for the past 2 weeks has been Lee Daniels' The Butler. It had a budget of about $30 million. They grossed more than $16 million this weekend, and they've had a total gross thus far in just 2 weeks of $51 million. And it's actually number one in terms of the average dollars per showing, per screening in theaters. Now, I talk to a whole lot of people about this film.
Dr. Ava, you are breaking up again.
Huh?
So, Dr. Ava, you were just breaking up, so hopefully that would clear up so we can hear you again. But I think she just welcomed our brother who also was on Elevated Places this past Sunday on WVON. As you know, that station is the home of our brother Cliff Kelly. Now Dr. Ava is on the air there every Sunday, 4 p.m. Central. But this brother that she's bringing on as we wait for her to return is a phenomenal brother. He represents the Crooked Letter, Humpback state of Mississippi. And one of the things I got to say about this brother before we bring him on, not only is he an actor, but a straight lyricist, straight MC. But I've had the honor and privilege to be with this brother and hear this brother at North Carolina A&T. And he came out, and you thought he would just be talking about the industry. He brought out books. He brought out literature. He was teaching the masses of those young people, and they were so inspired and motivated. And I'm going to shut up and just welcome our brother as we wait for Dr. Ava to come back. Brother David Banner, welcome to Elevated Places.
Oh, man, peace. Thank you guys for allowing me to come. I'm honored, man. I'm really honored, man. I'm honored.
No, I mean, we're honored that you're on the show. And as you heard this past Sunday how Dr. Ava brought you in, and we heard the energy and the spirit that you brought then that we wanted to make sure. And we thank the assistant editor of The Final Call, Brother Ashar Muhammad, for reaching out. He's doing a great job. You're here. For those that may not know, I don't know why they would, but, you know, not everybody's up on hip-hop. Just give a little background on who you are, you know, and what you have contributed to the game. You know, not only are you an MC, but you're also a producer.
I'm a Grammy Award-winning producer. Produce from everybody's all the way across the board. You name it. I've probably done some type of work from Quincy Jones to Chris Brown to Justin Bieber to Maroon 5. T.I. produced T.I.'s biggest hit. It goes up. Definitely been blessed, man. Really quickly, if you don't mind, I'd like to say, man, how enjoy doing this interview with Dr. Ava. And the reason is because, brother, you know and I know, you know, a lot of times we're fighting a uphill battle as it pertains to, you know, being enlightened and understanding, you know, some of the true aspects of this country that we live in and, you know, the battles that we've been fighting historically. And to be on a show where, you know, where people understand, you know, some of the things that I've been blessed to, you know, come about, you know, as I grow, it was just amazing, brother, actually be on a show where actually all I had to do is sit back. You know, all the things that I feel, all the things that I've been trying to tell my friends and get my people to understand, to be around groups of people that understand and who are pushing the same message. And I wanted to tell Dr. Ava a joke. I always notice every time, you know, her show come on, they definitely say, these thoughts may not be representative of the network or this radio station. So, man, I really appreciate it, man. I'm ready to go.
Well, she heard you. She's back on.
Can you all hear me? Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Oh, I heard that, Brother David. You are awesome. I'm telling you. I got so much feedback from you being on, and we just want to hold on to you and make sure the whole world knows about you. And you're exactly right. Yeah, I'm one of those, they're going to always do a disclaimer. But I'm making converts to the Butler. I don't care about people who don't go to movies. I had somebody was telling me, one of our ministers in the nation, he said, I had zero intention of going to see the Butler because when I heard the title, I thought about The Help. And I dismissed it and said, there's no way. He said, but when I heard Brother David on your show, I took my wife and my children immediately the same afternoon, and it blew us away. And so now he's doing the same thing in terms of getting people to come out. And, you know, the you play in that movie, and I just want to talk a little bit about it, and then we can go back to I'd like to get your insight also on the march that, that just took place, the anniversary, and the president's comments. But I, as an avid moviegoer, because I didn't go see The Butler out of some epiphany that I had. I went for two reasons. My husband and I go to movies all the time. We're going to go see it. But secondly, I'm a history major, and so I was going to check it out. But you opened that film, and that's what people need to understand. That's why I'm so thrilled that out of everybody on that cast, even above Oprah and Forrest, who were phenomenal, both of them, I would want to talk to you because you laid the base for everything that happened after that. And even, and I've seen it twice now, you know, you allowed us to laugh at some of the funny things that took, because the movie was entertaining too. And there were a lot of aspects that were hilarious, like to me, the interaction between Cuba Gooding and Forrest Whitaker as co-workers and friends at the White House. But you gave such a haunting performance that no matter how relaxed we might have gotten in some of the lighter scenes later, you left that theater not forgetting where black people have been and what we've been through. And Dr. Ridgely, the film opens up in the cotton fields in Macon, Georgia. You know, even though that's, it was actually, I think, David, and you said it was in Louisiana, but you brought such truth and vibrance to that role as the father of Cecil Gaines. And I just wanted, because we have a whole new slew of listeners on this outlet, a whole bunch of people, and we get thousands of listeners over the week. Just if you could just talk about whatever you want to say, you know, about the film and about your role.
Well, the thing that I'd like to say first of all is, you know, people always ask me, what did I draw from? And the thing is that I've always been enthralled with the history of my people as it pertains to Mississippi. And, you know, the history between, you know, Mississippi, when I tell people that I love Mississippi, and that I have Mississippi tattooed on my back, it's not about the state of Mississippi. It's the fact that my people are there. And the fact that so many people have left and so many people have turned their back. And, you know, when you look at the migration and what was supposed to happen in the migration of our people from the South all over the United States, we originally were supposed to go get educated and come back and educate our people, or we were supposed to come back and take our people to wherever this promised land was. At some point, it got broken. And so I'm always enthralled with that, and I always scream Mississippi, not because of that land, but because of my people. So, like, when I stepped on, because, like, I'm telling you guys, We were in a real cotton field. That wasn't Hollywood. I just need to be very clear about that. And I felt the spirit of my people. I felt that pain. It was there. And I remember, you know, it getting hot. And I remember, you know, being so frustrated and just feeling it. And then realizing that, you know, there were 3-4 generations where my people could never escape. That my people could never go home. And that was chilling. Like, you know, knowing in the back of my head that I could go home when they yell cut, you know, thinking about the fact that people could not escape was what I drew from. And that film has a way of touching on so many different aspects in so many different, you know, generations. And it was an amazing experience.
Yes, sir. And, you know, you mentioned on Sunday that because you played the father of Cecil, who's the central character, the butler, and he was a young child, but he was right at about that age, you know, when he was starting to take in his surroundings and like who he was, uh-huh. as opposed to who they, you know, meaning white folks, were. Uh-huh. And in the scene, your wife, who is played by Mariah Carey, and she did an incredible job too. Some of the most powerful roles really don't have a lot of words. And tell the people about that, how what you felt obligated to do as a father with your young son, because to me you showed him about being a man, but you said something to him which I think saved his life later on in terms of how he developed.
Well, in the script, they said something so powerful. They said that this is that man's world. We just live in it. And, you know, I think some of the problems with our children right now is a direct reflection of that. The hate that these kids have for each other is a direct reflection of what we went through in slavery. See, the thing is that people, I just talked about this in Mississippi, you know, when they talk about our children's reading scores and they talk about, you know, our children's ability to perform in school, I asked the state, the school board of Mississippi, I said, you also have to take responsibility for that, because you didn't let our children, or they were, you didn't let our people read for over 300 years. Then you let us out, you let us into society without any therapy, without any physical help, without any mental, spiritual help. And then we are kept in the same communities and we keep that cycle constantly going and constantly going. And then you talk about what's the reality of our people now without looking at what role you played in it. So when we look at the Butler and we look at the things that Cecil Gaines went through, I mean, it's a direct reflection of why. And that's why this movie is so important, because it took you from the cotton fields all the way up to our president now. And I think that's something that we should definitely always talk about. And that's why I love listening to you speak, because you're always able to pull from history, pull from actual facts. And although we are emotional about our people, the answers and the rationales that we get are not emotional nor at all. They're factual.
Can I cut in here for a minute?
I knew, Dr. Risley, I knew you were going to respond to that powerful statement. That is awesome.
Well, I don't want just to leave it with what they did to us during slavery and our being crippled now because of that. Because then you have a thing where it's so locked into our DNA that we can never get out, as though white folks have not continued the same process. As a matter of fact, they have increased it. Because when we came out of slavery, even though we were crippled, we built banks. We built hospitals. We taught ourselves. We built cities. We bought 16 million acres of land. And then there came more repression called lynching. Okay?
Right.
Then it came with integration to destroy what we had in segregation. Then it came with murdering our leaders. So it's not something that happened 150 years ago that's crippled us. This continual process of every time we get some type of crush to stand up on, they're there to kick it out because they're always watching us to make sure we don't get out. So we can't just leave it with the ones who are dead 150 years ago. We got to deal with their children right now who are doing the same thing, in particular through the media, putting these false images of us to ourselves and the world that causes the hate. Because when we came out of slavery, we knew who the enemy was. We knew the white man was still the enemy, and we knew that each other was all that we had. But that's been broken over time. It wasn't broken during slavery.
And you know what? That is, you're talking into the comments the two of you just made. Then I want to go to the phones. Is exactly why this movie is so critical, because it closes that gap. You know, I said on the show Sunday, my youngest daughter debated with me, because she said there's no way Cecil Gaines lived that long. He didn't live from slavery to President Obama's election. I said, Sherelle, that was not slavery. That was sharecropping, which was an extension of slavery. See, what this movie does is exactly what you're talking about. It awakens our people to the fact that this is relentless. It never stops.
That's right.
And it takes you right through every decade and shows you with this man having to wear the psychosis that we have to experience as black people to survive in their world. Like David's character told his son, this is their world. We are just in it. So therefore, in order to survive, and absolutely if you think you're going to advance anywhere, you have to be two absolutely different people. And
that's
you
right.
get to see a man be two entirely different people. And you see the struggle not just on the front, like the marches and the actual political struggle. You see a family. You see what's going on in the house. Like that scene where, David, where Kennedy is assassinated and he comes home, because he's at the White House all the time, but he was making a sufficient income to purchase a nice home, and his wife was able to stay home and rear their sons. He was able to send his son to college, but he came home and he was devastated by the death of President Kennedy, and when he went to his wife, she was initially unsympathetic. She was like, okay, you know, I'm sorry that the president was killed, but I'm not concerned about what's going on in the White House. I'm concerned about what's going on in this house. You know, and it goes back, and it continues right on up to Ronald Reagan and apartheid, that what we're all saying here is that our children, we keep saying, oh, they're so hostile, they're so angry. Well, of course they are. If you know our history and everything we do is a reaction to white people, it's not us. We're not doing anything proactive. We live a reactive life, and then we fight over which method we're going to use to deal with them. And that is not a natural life. But I'm going to go there. A lot of people want to get in this. Dr. Salam is calling us from Memphis. Dr. Salam, are you in Mississippi?
I'm in Memphis.
You're in Memphis, Tennessee, which is right on across the river.
Yeah, and I have an office in South Haven, so that's
South
why
Haven,
I'm kind
of doing a resident. Welcome, of course. Glad to have you here. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum salam.
You're joining the panel, and of course, Brother David Banner has taken time from his
brother
schedule
Banner,
to be with us.
This is so beautiful, brother.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
To my Dr. Ridgely and Brother Dr. Terrence, brother, you have really opened me up this evening, because you gave me a segue to something that's been on my heart for quite a while, and that is related to the speech that Dr. Martin Luther King gave. God didn't make me special, but he gave me an eidetic memory. And you hit on something, and I got to deliver tonight. That speech was actually never titled, I Have a Dream.
That's right.
If I can recite the best I can in my memory, word for word, about eight sentences, I think I can help us. These are Martin's words after a short introduction. He said, in a sense, we've come to our nation's capital to cash a check.
That's right.
When the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they signed a promissory note to which every American was to fall heir. This note was a promise that all men, yes, black men as well as white men, would be guaranteed the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is obvious today that America has defaulted on this promissory note insofar as her citizens of color are concerned. Instead of honoring this sacred obligation, America has given the Negro people a bad check, a check which has come back marked insufficient funds.
That's right.
Now let me stop here. This man was the first after the messenger that I can remember to even hint about reparations.
Right.
They talked about the 40 acres and a mule, but he came right out and said it. But to make a long story short, as preachers do near the end of their speech, they give a sharp close, a piercing close,
right,
and the organ kind of gets with them and they go out with a bang.
Come on.
He said, I have a dream. This was his dream. But let's go to the scholarly book of the dictionary. A dream means, in a verb sense, to deceive. A sequence of sensations, images, thoughts passing through a sleeping person's mind. That was his dream. But later, he recanted all of it with another book called Was It a Dream or a Nightmare?, in which he said, I have been filled with misguided hopes and blasted dreams. Those are his words.
Yes, sir.
I know the family. I sat with them in 1999 right here in Memphis with the trial every day that they were here and secured, helped Michael secure Mother King. She didn't stay for 2 days. But
yes,
I just wanted to say that. And but see, that tag, you know how you come on Facebook and they give you a tag and say somebody has tagged you? The enemy of man, one of mankind, tagged that. So Negroes, then, black people now, could fall into that sleeping, nightmarish dream.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for letting me share that. And thank you, Brother Terrence, because you gave me the energy. I have held this back long enough. And that's what... that's what NOI does. We love each other and we walk with each other. Thank you so much.
Sir. Thank you, Dr. Ava.
Assalamu alaikum.
Dr. Ava, can I jump in?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, real
yes,
quick,
sir.
I just want to make a very clear point about the March on Washington. There were some things that I disagree with on Saturday where people were getting cut off to a 2-minute time slot and their mics were getting cut. And Dr. Julian Bynes might got cut. And so I say that to say, no, they couldn't have invited Minister Farrakhan because they wouldn't have given him the proper due time to speak. And if he had spoken, he would have overshadowed everybody who was over there. So that's one reason Minister Farrakhan didn't get invited. But when I go to the march on the 28th with President Obama, one of the things I was so proud of, and I say this I'm proud of because I love the spirit of David Banner, Jamie Foxx went off script, and he spoke from his heart.
I heard his talk, yeah.
And that was very profound because in the spirit of the march on the Saturday when they was cutting people off, and they cut off our sister Latino, sister Dolores Huerta, they cut her off, and then he went off script and started to speak his mind. And I say that's very key because in 1963, the FBI and the government controlled the mic at that march, and they said if anybody got too radical, that they will pull the plug on who anybody that got too radical. So when he talked about Martin Luther King's speech, that I Have a Dream wasn't a part of that speech. He went off script. So that it
right.
even got in is very significant. And I say that correlated with David Banner because he's not a person that's going to hold his tongue and be a scripted brother. So we are very grateful that, Brother David, that you're on this show tonight.
That's right.
I appreciate it. I'm happy to be here.
Let's go to Sister Joella. I think she has a question for Brother David. Assalamu alaikum. Sister Joella? Sister Joella?
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, yes. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Go right ahead.
Assalamu alaikum to the family this evening.
And
I'm just enjoying this so very, very much. And I can somewhat relate to what Brother David is saying regarding in being in that cotton field, because I can remember growing up in the South and having to pick cotton all day long for just $2. And at that time, it was not a whole lot of money, but we were there, and all of the things that he was bringing out about being in that cotton field, you really did not want to be there. So, again, my husband and I are going to see the movie because I'm quite sure that it will bring back memories. And thank you, Sister Ava, for advocating about the movie, Brother Terrence and Dr. Ridgely. When we continue to go forward, thank you again.
Oh, thank you, ma'am. We appreciate your comment. You know, we really need to do all we can to pursue knowledge and find out for ourselves and not conclude one thing from another and decide something's not worth our time. And so I'm really glad that you all have made that decision. And you will see that it was the right decision to go see it. We've got Brother Hoyle has, I think I skipped him. We have so many callers on here. Brother Hoyle from
Memphis, Tennessee. Assalamu alaikum,
yes,
sister,
yes.
And Brother David Banner and Brother Terrence and Dr. Ridgely and all the great. And I
the whole gang,
movie,
right?
and the whole gang. And I haven't seen the movie yet, Brother David, but I know your work, and I know you did an excellent job. And just the excerpts that I saw you in, and that was powerful what you said, that we live in their world, that script, and we just act in it. And that's powerful. Dr. Salam brought up some great points from Dr. King. We got so many things that are happening right in our face, you know, with what the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said pertaining to the war, you know, with Russia. You know, we got Russian troops over there now in the Gulf over there, Russia, China, and Iran. So I think it's 90,000 are doing war games over there. But I guess that's another subject. But getting to this dream, I wanted to finish what Dr. Salam was saying. He said that after establishing the general cause of outbreaks, this is the five reasons why. Number one, the white backlash. Number two, unemployment. Three, general discriminatory practices. Four, war. Five, features peculiar to big cities, crime, family problems, and intensive migration. He then said the second major cause of the crisis in the inner cities is unemployment because it furnishes the bulk of shock troops. Government figures revealed that the rate of unemployment for Negroes runs as high as 15% in some cities, while the use up to 30-40%. Think about that now. And we relate that to this time. It is not an accidental that the major actors in all the outbreaks were in the youth. With most of their lives yet to live, the slamming of the doors in their faces could be expected to induce rage and rebellion. This is especially true when a boastful nation, while neglecting them, gloats over its wealth, power, and world preeminence. Yet almost 40% of Negro youth waste their barren lives standing on the street corner. Now look at that. Compare that. That's 1967. This is an address to the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. Now, like you said, going to the butler, you know, all of that time he has to deal with each generation. Situation of I can't wait to see the movie. It's powerful from what you're saying. I've been working so much, I'm gonna make time to see it. But I advise everybody this past time on what must be done. They were talking about on the talk show, a couple of talk shows today here in Memphis, Tennessee. You know, people bought the final call off. You know, and said, you know, they said I read. One brother said, I read the real letter of the Martin Luther King, the one that was in the final call from the research group, the actual letter. These people don't even know. A lot of people don't even know. They're blown away of Dr. King's words. Like I said, they only given I have a dream, you know.
Well, there are things. Yes, it is just things occurring, and it has to be mm-hmm. divine intervention that are mm-hmm. arousing us, you know, to mm-hmm. the reality of our history. Even someone mm-hmm. like me that thinks or thought I knew, and there are things mm-hmm. I forgot, like the sit-ins,
right.
the students, the lunch counters,
yes,
which
ma'am.
You see in the movie. And if our youth today can be connected, and that's why you should not only go but take some young people,
right.
they need to know that it's always young people that are the vanguard of a revolution. And
right.
those people that made it possible for my daughters and others to walk around with smartphones and say and do whatever they feel like, they were not old fogies. These were 17, 18, 19-year-olds who sat at lunch counters and got their heads bashed in, had hot coffee thrown in their faces. People spit in their face. And the visual, I mean, my daughter was gasping in the film. She was in shock, you know, because
we
are disconnected.
Well, Sister Ava, look at the distractions thrown at our young people, Miley Cyrus and all of this madness, you know, all the stuff going on in the world. You know,
right.
I'm just blown away with the distractions thrown at our young people, at us,
that's right.
period, you know.
Yes, sir.
You know, and everything is happening so fast, you know.
It is.
You know, but like I said, time and what, Brother Banner, you keep up the good work, and all of you all on the panel keep up the good work. And don't forget time and what must be done. If you all want to know what's going on this Saturday, you know, they asked me, the talk show host asked me, what does Minister Farrakhan think? I said, this Saturday. I didn't go into it. I said,
right.
you listen, this Saturday at 6 p.m. And
that's right.
Farrakhan, we'll go into everything that's happening right now, you know, with the situation, and
yes, sir.
Everything else. And but like I said, if listen audience, you want to know, this Saturday, 6 p.m., and Mr. Farrakhan gonna lay it out. And I know, Sister Ava, you gonna throw down Sunday. I ain't got it. That's no question, man. All right.
Thank
y'all
you
have
so
a good
much
with
for calling.
Brother David. Good job, and inshallah, talk to you next time. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you. Walaikum salam. Okay, great call. So, Brother David, did you hear President Obama's speech yesterday by any chance or any excerpt from it?
No, I actually didn't get an opportunity to hear it. I've been working, catching up now that, you know, with all of this stuff going on with the Butler and me gearing up for my next album, I've literally been working and resting, so I didn't honestly get an opportunity. But me watching, you know, the way things have been going since the election, I have, you know, and me listening to what you guys have been talking about, I have a sense of what was said, because I have an opinion about that in general, but, you know, I have to see what the question is before I can answer it.
Well, you know, and Brother Terrence, I may be able to add, but I found it to be, you know, I was really glad in the wake of the Zimmerman verdict that the president shared a personal experience as a black man in America. It was the first time I'd heard him be so blunt and straight. But in line with what Brother Terrence reported and what the minister raised in the excerpt we played from the time and what must be done, he addressed not being invited to the march. And, of course, not only the minister, but people like Cornel West, who is a critic of the president, were not invited. But he basically towed the line politically. And sort of went back into what he's required to do. But in my mind, I think that everything that is happening right now is showing us the futility of pursuing this goal of making white America feel comfortable. It's an unattainable goal. And the question also becomes, why is it a desirable goal? You know, why don't we have any desire at all at this point of being together? Every other people bask in their national identity. And I think that everything that's happening is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad predicted, that we would be forced to go for self. You know, we're not talking about going on some other planet. There's a real deep misunderstanding of what separation is. I don't, we're just talking about economic independence.
Well, actually, what we're talking about is what Brother David Vanna talked about, is that we thought that we were going to leave Mississippi and Georgia and go up north and then come back and build. But we have yet to do that, but now is the time to do that.
And one thing that I say is about anybody, and I tell the kids that I mentor this all the time, what we have to understand is those people who gain success with the system being the way that it is, nine times out of ten, they are not going to help change the system. That's what people are waiting for, you know, just the entertainers and the president and all of these different people to help our people. But we never look at the fact that they gained or they got in the situation that they're in now for the situation. I mean, for the system being and treating our people exactly the way that it.
Wow.
Yeah. And did Brother Dave, you still there?
Well, they playing with the mic tonight.
Oh, they,
yeah,
they
yes, I don't even know where I went out. Excuse me. But basically, I was basically saying the people who gained or came into power, you know, I actually, the biggest shock for me was in the middle of my career. I remember going overseas and getting the opportunity to look at how black men in America were being portrayed. And it shook me mentally, you know, and to be a part of it, that was the reason why I had to step away from music for a second and reevaluate self and really look at what America is preparing. America seems like it's preparing our children for the slaughter. You know, I told somebody something today. They asked me, they said, you know, David, why is there so many movies about slavery? And I told them, I said, maybe because they're trying to prepare us for something that they really want for us. You look at the prison, the pipeline system. You know, that's legalized slavery in America. So in me saying that, like, we have to stop looking to these people who the system has given power to.
Well, we just experienced the 50, you know, the largest school closings in U.S. history.
Right.
You know, black people sat here in Chicago, and this is a city where black people have the potential to wield more power than anywhere, and where there are more black entrepreneurs, more than New York City. And yet we sat by while Rahm Emanuel, the mayor, and this is one of the few cities where the mayor controls the educational system. It's not controlled by a board. And he closed 50 schools. And now, after the fact, which goes into our tendency to react, you know, the Minister Farrakhan and the message of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is a message of proactivity. Do for self. We have been kept into a reactive mode, and you can't survive like that. And so now, to David's point about the prison industrial complex, I agree with that. All that's being put out here, and we have to help the people get the right perception of it. But from their perception of it, I believe that they've been trying to get slavery back ever since it ended. Because
this
country was built on free labor.
That's right.
And one of the things I just wanted to jump in here, Dr. Ava, while I have Brother David on the line, you know, he's a part of the hip-hop community, which I am a part of the hip-hop community with Reverend Yearwood, the Hip-Hop Caucus. And one of the things that we understand, 40 years strong in hip-hop, and we look at 50 years from the March on Washington, how the narrative of the march has changed. The narrative is not what was going on 50 years ago. There's a different story from the voices of those that are there. There's a different context in how the March on Washington happened. There's a different context on what Martin Luther King said and what he said later. As we look at hip-hop as it is now in some state is not what it was created to be or what it was when it was at that time. So we got to ask the question, what made it change and what caused it to deviate? So when we start looking at our leaders and how some of them have been paid off, and so they're not going to be as extreme as they want to be because they're backed by enemies, I'm seeing that same kind of context in hip-hop where we want, quote-unquote, conscious rap. And that's why I say I love David Banner, because his mentality off the record and on the record is still the same. And he can even talk about how the industry is making slaves of MCs and making slaves of artists, just like they're making slaves in our educational system to send them into another slavery in the prison industrial complex.
What I have also noticed, I'm actually writing a paper on it right now, and what they have also done is they have paid the house slave so much that it makes our children want to act the way that they do.
That's right.
See, the thing is now that the system benefits and it caters to that type of those type of actions. And it, you know, the one thing I always ask the children when I go into school, I say, what is one thing that American history shows a black man if he stands up, what happens to him? And all of those kids, whether they are active or not, say the same thing, you die.
If that's the bottom line,
kids are smart. Kids say, I don't want to be like this person if you don't die and you broke. So one of the things that we also have to do as a community, similar to what we say about supporting self, one of the things that they have convinced the hip hop community is if you're not in with corporate, then you're nothing, because you know people not buying records no more. So if the streets are not if the streets is not financing the MCs and the corporations are, then most of these MCs are not going to bust the system because the corporation is what's paying them. And we all know, for me, one of the biggest problems in America as it pertains to itself is laissez-faire capitalism. Whenever you put money before the people, it's always going to go wrong.
And you know, that's why we have to support our artists. See, because we leave them out there in the middle of the ocean, and that's right. Exactly right. You know, the economic realities begin to kick in. And I'm going to tell you, this generation, they're not interested in being in poverty, okay? They're just not. And at some point, as the minister says, we have to marry wealth and wisdom. It is not the Creator's intention for us to be broke. And the one thing I criticize the older of my generation, some of them, the activists, this idea you have to be broke to prove that you're real. You know, no.
Excuse me. Can you say that one more time for me?
I just don't agree you got to be broke to be real. Why can't we be wealthy? And you know, we condemn people for wanting beautiful homes, great transportation, you know, nice clothes. This is who we are as original people. We want the best. And I think one of the reasons for this hostility from the youth is they're looking at us and we're saying, well, you need to go to school. You know, and they're looking at us and saying, well, what did it get for you?
So I have a question to Brother Dave. He said something that kind of sparked a question in me, and that is the old paradigm for the hip-hop was the records, and now it's moved to corporate. Now, what is the new paradigm by which a conscious rapper or musician or a poet can get paid? What's the new paradigm?
I started something that's called 2-in-1. Dr. Ava, I don't know if you got an opportunity to see the movie, the short movie that I just put out. on YouTube, and it's called Walking with Gods. And I put out an album. And what I realized is the vision that was given to me is called 2M1, 2 million people, one purpose. And what that purpose is for us to control our own images. And both good and bad, regardless, us controlling our images. And the thing that I realized is they gave us this false hype, like everybody wants a million fans. You don't need a million fans. If you can get 10,000 people, if you can get 10,000 people to give you $5, if you can get, let's say even if you can get 20,000 people to give $5, it's not hard. The thing is, they got us locked into this commercialism and constantly having to buy. When I met my mentor, and he taught me about acquiring wealth, and similar to what you guys say, doing for self, it doesn't take a lot. You only need one car. You only need one house. You only need a certain amount of shoes. You don't have to buy stuff every day. For the new artist, if they would just get their fans, start with 100, then go to 200. That's what I did, 500. And then each of them just constantly giving to you, and the money is coming straight to you. Because I got into an argument with a rapper. He said, well, how dare you sell your album for a dollar? And I said, brother, when we were signed to major labels, you didn't get but 19 cent a record. They were selling it for $9.99 or $19.99. So for me to get the whole dollar, significantly more than what we were getting on record labels. So it doesn't take that much. You just have to stay in contact with your fans. You got to stop acting like your fans are not worth anything. And these labels did that to us. They made the most important part, similar to what this world has done to black people. The kings and queens of this earth, they were made to feel like they were dirt because people could not be them. These people in these labels are not talented. So they can't be us. So they make us feel like we're nothing. The fans, the DJs and the artists, and without them, these places would crumble. Y'all, excuse me. I'm very passionate about
this. Worth my dime right here. This worth my dime right here, brother. Go ahead.
That was him. And I hope everybody heard that. You know, the whole dollar versus 19 cents off of $20. But I gotta go to the phones. I've had Sister Amira has been holding forever, but this is just mind shattering. I'm loving this. You said it, Brother Terrence. This is a show of shows tonight.
Man, what? Come on.
Welcome, Sister Amira, to Elevated Places.
I'm thankful. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go right ahead. We're down to about 6 minutes. Go right ahead. Stay quickly as you can.
I'm thanking you for everything, but I wanted to ask you a three-part question, and as simple as this, Sister Ava, about President Barack Obama's speech. I heard him from the ancestor perspective. He said, black folks bring me an Exodus proposal. So I said to say to you, do you think this, you can help me ask Minister Farrakhan, is there any merit to you? I listened to Dr. King's speech, and the part about he said he wasn't fearing anyone is that he said he had seen the promised land after his visit with the messenger. 16 million black people that work in this country, they believe that integration is the way to go, but 16 million people that we need to pool our resources is asking for economic accountability to say that, listen, do you think that if there's any, to me it was an epiphany, we're talking about, the promised land, Dr. King said he was experiencing, as a people we will get to the promised land. So my question is, can you ask Mr. Farrakhan to elaborate, what is this promised land in terms of, like Dr. Chalon said earlier, reparations? And that's all, that's my figure, that's all I have to say. You know, and the other thing is, Dr. Ava, please ask me, tell me this, why is there no Exodus ministry of Exodus of reparation, and why is there no ministry of reparation? I get excited, but
the people. And separation, it does not mean this big abyss between us and all of civilization. It just means putting our self-interest first, self first and then others. And just as Jewish people have Israel as a homeland, they have dual citizenship in the United States and in Israel, and many people have dual citizenship in America. America is a so-called melting pot. Nobody is from here except the Native American. And so what we are saying is we want a territory or state or states that we can call our own, where we can be safe, where we can produce for ourselves. It's that simple. Minister Farrakhan will be at Tuskegee University October 20th for the Day of Atonement, and he's going to give the college students, the next generation, their marching orders in the process of doing it for self. So, Brother David Banner, we're going to be following you. We're going to be supporting you. I'm going to get on YouTube the minute I get off this phone. And so tell the listeners where they can reach you, what the best way is of getting your website. And I love that suit and bow tie, by the way, on the website. So, Brother David, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm still here.
Just give us some. We got about 1 minute to give us some, the best way to follow you, get in touch with you.
Just tell everybody to hit me on Twitter at the Real Banner, and I'll give them all of the information, because everybody always hit me once I get off of the show with you, and I'll give them everything else that they need. Just hit me at the Real Banner. And I'd like to say a big thank you. I didn't get an opportunity to say thank you to Brother Edward Muhammad, who has been giving me all of the information and a lot of the books that I've been reading and a lot of the understanding I got from Brother Edward Muhammad. And I just like to tell him thank you, because I know that he listened, and I appreciate you, brother.
Oh, that is so beautiful, and we appreciate Brother Edward for doing it, and you. And I also have to thank the Elevated Places team, who have made this show possible, and we're starting to get picked up on broadcast radio. But Dr. Ridgely Muhammad, our analyst and contributor, Brother Terrence Muhammad, my co-host, Sister Rona Muhammad, our program director, and, of course, I would be looking at a blank wall if it weren't for our IT specialist, Sister Madonna. And that voice you hear opening the show and closing it is Brother Bobby Muhammad, who also lifts the perfect clips from the
That's
Honorable
right.
Minister Louis Farrakhan, The Time and What Must Be Done. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, David. Everybody, get out, and you better go see The Butler. Don't come on here next week and you haven't seen it. Love you all. Talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.